Welcome to Season 2 of Beyond the Wall, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast brought to you by Istral and Darknotch. We'd like to thank FFG and CardGameDB for their continued support, and the fantastic AGOT community as a whole for being the sole reason we do this cast. Thank you for letting us take you once again beyond the wall. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Wall. This week we're sick, our kids are sick, we grudgingly do our usual news and tournament roundup, followed by a rant in quotation marks for what we'd like to see FFG change in 2016, a quick segment on deck testing and Istral being a jerk, a brief tip of the week, we review some fancy deck boxes, and some closing comments.
John, this is episode 42, and last week we closed off saying a bunch of stuff that we'd do this episode, and then you coughed, and I made a joke about how we'd have a cold next week, and I'm sick.
I am really sick.
All your kids are sick. My kid is sick. This will not be our finest work.
Welcome to flu season.
Yeah, this is not working. So apologies, there's some content cut from this week. We did also promise that we'd have an interview that unfortunately we have not gotten approval to air yet. That's recorded, it's ready to go. We're just waiting, it will show up. It's just a question of going through those approval processes. We probably shouldn't have said anything last week. We cursed it.
Yeah, and you know, it involves FFG, which means...
it's going to be slow.
Bureaucracy.
However, to not quite start, but follow up on a happy note, you mentioned trying to push up our Facebook likes, and we're now at 938. I posted
close to that 1,000.
I know. Considering where we were at, that's astounding. I posted a picture of our total Facebook likes, and you can see that in November, like halfway through November, about a week ago, it spikes by about 200. As people are joining onto this, which is fantastic to see. We do have prizes for people who have liked us on Facebook that we will draw out once we hit 1,000 likes. So continue to do this. Continue to promote it among fellow players at your local tournaments and the like.
Yes, please.
News, though. I guess we could start with a tourney roundup, and I won't start with Stalic yet. I'll go over some smaller 2.0 events around the world. There was a small 9-person event in the Philippines, won by Dan with Barra Fealty. A 25-person tournament in France that was won by Spawny, playing a Lanny Banner of the Rose. In Georgia, there was a smaller tournament with Richard Bowers, taking Targ Fealty to the win. And three Spanish tournaments, despite the fact that most of them should have been at Stalic this week, two about 10 to 12-person Zaragoza tournaments were both won by De Angelis, one as Tyrell Banner's son, one as Barra Fealty. And then there was a 35-person tournament in Barcelona won by Maenas playing Targ. And this is just a routine weekly-type thing, 35-man tournament. That sounds
nice.
Awesome.
I want to have a weekly 35-man tournament.
Yes. It's happening. I'm up to six regulars now.
Awesome.
I know, which is an increase of, well, it's six times more than I had 3 months ago. So Stalic then. Stalic, we did say this wasn't going to be a Stalic episode, but we should at least go over what news that we do have from the tournament. So shall we start off with the melee?
I thought we were going to go backwards. So it'd be like team event, Germany won, Joust.
So Germany won. They beat Spain in the finals. So England had won that last year. Germany stayed in the winner's bracket. They never lost a set. So you play three matches within one set, and they never lost one. So congratulations to Germany, yeah. The new champions. I guess on the same day, there were lots of other side events, but maybe the one most relevant to our listeners is the 2.0 Joust tournament was a side event. That had 78 players and was won by a Frenchman, Martel de Poitiers, playing a Barra Fealty deck.
Ooh.
I don't know exactly who's playing that. I'm sure we'll have the stats out of Stalic. Those are generally pretty good because obviously people were playing in a lot of different events because those 78 players sounds great, except when you compare it to the Joust the day before which was 228. So tell us about the joust, John.
Well, there was very little information, but I know that Helmet took second with a Greyjoy deck, and he was playing Jesus, who was running a Stark DW.
Yep, that's right. The top four had four different houses. It also had a Martell and a Targ from four different nationalities. I mean, as a way to close off 1.0, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Jesus, obviously the new European Championship, a new card design on the line. I've already reached out to him to see if we can get him to come on the cast this week so we can have that episode we were talking about. So hopefully all of that will go through. And congratulations to Helmut, who's been a Stalic regular for ages. He swears by the event. It's very nice to see a good friend of the cast, someone who's been on repeatedly, play so well.
Well, speaking of a friend of a class, Florian Mass also broke his not making the cut at Stalic streak made the cut this year.
That's right. I mean, many, many, many friends of the cast did very, very well. And that's
like Jakob in the melee the next day?
The previous day.
The previous day, yes. Backwards.
So the melee was 160 people, and the final was three Swedes. Three people whose names started with J. It was going to be tough to find out which way the collusion was going to work. But in the end, there was Jakob Holtzman, our own giant underwear. There was Jonas as well from Sweden. And there was Andreas Rybeck. And James Walmsley. Now, Andreas, for those of you who don't remember from our Stalic episode last year, he was the unofficial overall champion last year. He did supremely well in both. I think he was a finalist in Melee and a top. He might have been fifth in the joust or fourth in the joust. So he's a stellar player, and so he got to claim that that melee championship. I think it is a real shame there isn't a card design, a field that big and doing that well 2 years in a row. Just what stellar performance.
Yeah. And that kind of segues into our next part of our episode, right, Alex?
Does it? Because I wanted to mention one weird thing about this. I mean, we'll get into details about Stalic in general. But one weird thing about the melee, one of the players who had made the cut was deck checked and then was told that he couldn't play with five of his cards because he hadn't correctly identified which set they were from. So he was playing Martell and he didn't say which Sir Eris, which Doran, which Darkstar he was using.
Really?
That's harsh. It's legit, according to the rules. I have never seen FFG actually enforce that. They should. They should be more consistent about it. They should issue warnings. But I did feel that was harsh.
That's way too harsh.
I mean, there's a new policy for how you handle that as of about, I think, eight years, good lord, where if you're found to have an illegal deck, you flip those cards over in such a way as to make your deck legal again, and those are just dead draws. So I'm sure that's what he was forced to do, but I think that is harsh.
Yeah, that's way too harsh.
Yeah. So you said that was going to segue well into our next segment, or our next something. It does?
Yeah. Well, I think so, because you were just saying that FFG doesn't support melee enough, and I heard that you wrote an article that you're going to be posting soon about the things you want to see FFG do better next year, and if you're writing an article, I want to rant on the cast.
Oh, okay. Well, I will quickly mention that this is actually sort of taking the place of the main content of the cast this week. Like I said, we're all sick.
Oh, and my rant's not the main...
No, your rant can still be the main content. It just doesn't get its own segment. I'd actually written this up, and I've been tweaking it, and I was hoping to post it after we'd closed off the cast for the semester, for the year, for our Christmas break, and sort of leave off on what I expect or hope from the next year for them. But given that we've got less content today, I decided I was going to rush this out and add it in as a sort of apology for the fact that we're still – why am I apologizing? We're sick, and we're still doing this for you all. Enjoy it. I'll probably cut that into its own little ranty segment because there's still some news things I need to get in. Not much, though. There's a new podcast that for Spanish-speaking listeners called El Único Juego Que Importa. This is a – it used to exist. It went on hiatus, and it's come back now for 2.0 based out of Spain. This – I started listening to the first episode – It was a sort of 6-minute intro song plus voiceover explaining why he was coming back. It was a little slow for me, but it picked up then after. I just haven't had time to keep listening to it. But if you're interested in a Spanish language podcast, check that out. I think that's currently the only one running, because Dos Maestros Un Pupilo is, I believe, on hiatus as well. I'm losing track of time, but we aired our episode, and then more spoilers were brought to our attention, this time from Slovakia, from the Slovakian distributor. So I think we're at a tally now of 51 out of 100 upcoming cards, because we already know the Taking the Black pack, which is out. So of the 100 remaining cards in the cycle, we know 51 of them. Heads are going to roll, I think.
Why?
Obviously, these are from the distributors, from official sources, but I find it impossible to believe that this is what FFG wanted. this is clearly a communications issue between the distributor and FFG. This is not the way they wanted to handle spoilers. And, you know, there are drawbacks.
They didn't want to just spoil everything?
Well, especially not with, you know, the first chapter pack not even officially out in the States yet. So... No, I think heads will roll over this. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you want to check them out, they're all posted. All the ones from the Czech and Slovakian distributors are posted along with translations on our Facebook group. Some very interesting ones were added in that second day. I'm quite excited about this upcoming cycle. A lot of Tyrell and Stark, almost all the Tyrell and Stark. In fact, all the Tyrell and all but one Stark card, if the numbers are even, have been spoiled.
What's your favorite card that you've seen so far of the spoilers?
I had an answer to that, and then now I'm sick and give
mine's
me a few
Mirror seconds. And Heat.
Oh, yeah, that was my answer too. There you go. Thanks. Yes. That card is amazing, and it turns Arbor Knight, which I was telling you was an amazing card, into an even amazing-er card.
Actually, I played with the Arbor Knight now a lot more, and I really like him.
Yeah, but imagine you attack with him alone with the Marin Heat on him. And for those of you who don't know, Marin Heat says if it's a knight character-only attachment. And then if you attack with that character alone, you can kneel Marin Heat to remove a character with greater strength than him from the challenge. So you attack with this little guy who's got strength 1. You pull out anyone from the challenge, and then you pump his strength to continue to win the challenge. That sounds amazing. Or Balon Greyjoy is attacking you. You block with the knight with the Marin Heat, and you just remove Balon from the challenge, and now you don't have to worry about all those strength shenanigans.
Yeah, now you just laugh and be happy.
It's gonna be a very fun card with a lot of tricksy things. Very, very Tyrell-y. Definitely my favorite card of the ones we spoiled. And my least favorite is Ward.
Yeah, I thought we got rid of problems like that.
It looks, I mean, it's not Mel's favor. It's an attachment cost 4 that can grab an opponent's character of printed cost 4 or less. And so there's a cost restriction, and so it changes certain things, and it's terminal. So if the character leaves play, at least you don't get it back. But it's still, even if you're only grabbing the character for a turn till your opponent confiscates it, that's a big tempo play. We know that from Mel's favor. And I guess we're all running attachment hate now. And so, sure, if you have Maester Crescent, you can pop that. Or I guess he's forced to take Maester Crescent with Ward. And if you have We Do Not So, you can get rid of it in the challenges phase and get that character back in such a way that you can use it in the challenges phase. So maybe it's just 1.0 sensibilities, but that card worries me.
I don't know. It's like Enslaved from Lannister, and that's an amazing card in 1.0. It has a cost restriction, right?
Like, it is, but in 1.0, people weren't running attachment hate, which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, Enslaved wasn't great once Viserys came along, or people were running the Marinese Brothel for things like Mel's Favor, and it started to fade a little bit. So maybe this is just 1.0 panicky, jittery feelings.
Maybe. Oh, it's one of those cards that's not good until it's broken.
Well, let's hope it's... straddles that line and they give us the attachment hate we need to make it less of a problem. I do have really good news for you. You know how I was telling you about the Noble Cause fundraiser that was giving out these things? Well, they heard our cast and they asked around, and they're actually offering Tagalog art versions of their So I hope you're ordering some like you said you would.
I'm going to. I haven't yet, but okay. I will.
Well, you better hurry up because their tournament's coming up pretty soon. they have a version of Sneak Attack as a plot. They have a March to the Wall, which they've been showing their initial sketches of, and they have a version of Fealty, which they did in a sort of horizontal layout. They said it's so that you don't try and kneel it instead of the faction card, because a lot of people are doing that with the game, which was cool. But the neatest thing to me is that they did Fealty. The alt art is Jaime swearing fealty to King Aerys.
Yes.
And then someone, I think it was Zitro on the Facebook group, suggested, hey, wouldn't it be neat if you had 8 different versions of the fealty agenda and you had one for each faction, a scene where someone is swearing fealty to the king or to the head of that faction. I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, the people proclaiming king in the north, and you can have that scene for Stark, and you can have a scene. You know, each one has some sort of iconic era, whether they're forcing mm-hmm. people to. Dany demanding that the Blood Riders swear their oath to her or protect her rather than take her off to be a crone in Vaes to Thrak. And, you know, I would really like that.
Cool.
All right. I think that wraps up our intro.
30 minutes.
Anyway, so you had some rants.
Yes, back to my rant. FFG, next year, clear the backlog of people waiting to design their champ cards. It's not a prize if no one ever builds the card.
I agree. That's why I wrote the article. It's not just in Thrones. In Netrunner, the only champ card released is the one from 2012 so far. And in Thrones, we have a backlog of 19 cards, almost a full chapter pack.
That's crazy. And if you have to come up with a chapter pack of champ cards, do it.
I mentioned, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
That's
bound to sound a little bit selfish because we both happen to have card designs, but you know they advertise it as the ultimate prize, and it's not really acceptable the way that they've gone around handling that, and it's also not acceptable that we're not aware of the guidelines. You've probably heard rumors that you're not allowed to design a unique card, or a unique card can't have your face in it, or it can't be a legacy card prior to the books. But I have a champ card design, and I don't know any of that for real.
Me neither.
So that's not really a good way to go about it.
All right, my next thing. I think FFG has to step up their organized play. I would like to see something like they had their... I think it was Golden Dragoons that they gave
Golden
out at
Dragons,
tournaments.
Yeah.
Golden Dragons. Basically, there were points that you got to then go onto a online store and get cool swag for. So if you showed up, you know, you got a few of these. The farther you went in the tournament, you got some additional ones. And yeah, you paid a little bit extra at the tournament. You know, maybe it was an extra buck or two or whatever it was. But this allowed FFG to reward people from participating a lot. And it would let people kind of customize the type of prize they would get, you know, whether that would be an alt art card or a trophy or maybe, you know, even a card design. So I want to see something like that come back, FFG. And actually, FFG, if you're listening and you're too lazy to create the website and stuff, I'll do that for you. So, you know, just contact me, send me an email or the cast an email. We'll get something up.
Again, I've written all this so people will see my thoughts on it as well. But you've mentioned this participation system in the past where we were talking about organized play. I wholeheartedly agree. But even if they can't implement that, and if you will or whatever the case is, at least the alt art cards should be ones that you want multiple copies of, so you have an incentive to go to multiple tournaments. The top prizes for, say, the top four should be 4 different prizes, so the first player gets to pick the one he doesn't have yet. You know, some things that at least push you to incentivize. The point is to create a system in which attending as many tournaments as possible is incentivized. Some people will do it anyway, and some people don't care about the prize support anyway, or just want to go to their local one. That's fine, but you should reward the people who are actively out there doing it.
Yeah, because the tournaments are always better the more people there are. And the more people that come in from other places, you get to play against new and interesting decks and, you know, different tweaks on the meta. It just makes it that much more fun.
So did you want to rant about the other points as well? Okay, all right.
Promote the game, FFG. Like, what the heck? I had to go to 8 stores today to buy my last core set because they're sold out and you guys didn't freaking print enough core sets and no one can order them in. That's a pain in the butt. Secondly, I asked people, why don't you have any posters or anything up about, we didn't get sent any. FFG didn't give us any promotional material to put up in our
store.
Surely
it would be Lion's Rampart for Canada.
Or, okay, I don't care. whoever,
we know,
where.
You're ranting. We don't need logic. It's fine.
Yeah, and then send Lions Rampart these posters. I bet they didn't get any posters. I bet if we go to New York City, where FFG should be, there's not going to be any posters up in the store there either, unless Dan and Dave put them up themselves. So, like, what is going on? I want to see some more clarity around rules, couple rules. I want to see clarity around fan alternate art colors cards. Are they legal or are they not?
They're not. They're illegal.
They're illegal? There's actually a rule somewhere there?
Yeah. They would count as proxies. They would be illegal and not sanctioned to tournaments.
Okay. So it's only the FFG alternate art cards that are legal.
Correct.
Well, see, that's good to know. There's no floor rules for Game of Thrones.
There are no floor rules. This all falls under a category for tournament support for me. Netrunner got floor rules, but we've heard nothing about Thrones. It's been almost a year since we last heard them mention the judge program that they said was coming soon. Their tournament software is still not publicly available for use at local events. I know they send people a version for regionals and things. I haven't had a chance to play with it at all. That's not that I have a chance, but the point is, if they want people to be using these for their local events and, you know, keep the tournament system consistent throughout, then this should be publicly available, and it should work, and it should export data into the annals. Okay, that's maybe pushing a little bit far. I think within the tournament support, though, the point that I think is most important is to make clear what their plans for the upcoming year are going to be well in advance for the judge program, for Tome, for whether Stalic is getting support or not, which days of Worlds will be Thrones-related things. Give us a State of Organized Play 2-page article that sketches out the next year.
And why is there still no place to play online? Like, official place. Like, why are we still using Octagon? And do they support Octagon or don't they? Their site lets me export to Octagon, right?
This falls under – their site does, but doesn't support it openly in the same way. It's actually the number one point that I have, not because they're in any particular order, so I don't know why I said that. But they need to give us fair use guidelines for their intellectual property. I mean, there are a lot of fan sites, podcasts, community resources, YouTube channels, custom alt arts, custom tokens, online gaming platforms, and all of these sort of fall under the fact that we are using FFG's IP. We're using it to review the cards. We occasionally use the card art embedded in our podcast as the identifiers for chapters. Other websites are using maybe the watermarked versions of the cards. Some websites are not. These online gaming platforms exist, and nobody has any idea whether we're doing it right. We're operating blindly, and that's not fair to them. It's not fair to us. If we're breaking the rules accidentally, we don't want to be. And if we're restricting ourselves accidentally, we don't want to be either.
Yeah. So get that out there, FFG.
I guess I can mention one of the other ones, but that basically we can't go into any details about whatsoever. And this is, obviously, all of you listeners probably know, I've been involved in the playtesting process. Heck, John, your name is in the guide as well for the core book, so you were at least testing somewhere in the core. So we're bound by NDAs. We can't discuss the playtesting process. But as anyone who has been a playtester can attest, their playtesting process is in need of some modernization. And I can't say any more than that. If they want ideas, I have a list. I have a spreadsheet. Surprising no one.
And also, they need to make their website better.
Really?
I don't love CardGameDB. Do you love CardGameDB?
I don't love CardGameDB, but I don't love most websites. How many websites do you love, John?
Okay, very few. But I like, you know, maybe it's because I used to like CardGameDB more than they got cards, but now I like ThronesDB. It is pretty nice for usability.
ThronesDB is nice as a deck builder, but I still use the forums and the functionality of CardGameDB. I don't have any great issues with it. I think the forums are functional, and I requested some features for the rules forums and got them. So I actually am not backing you on this one. I don't think the website's great, but I don't think there's any huge glaring issues, except with regards to some slightly unsupported features, like things that don't necessarily work with the export to Octagon feature in certain games, and the fact that it exists but isn't equally supported in all these games is weird.
Yeah.
And the final one that I want to at least briefly touch on, again, these are all condensed. I would rather have community engagement in these points and see whether people support us, so it's not just us ranting on the cast. So that's why we're posting this as a list that people can then comment on and tell us their thoughts about points or adding potential points. And maybe we can point it towards FFG, and I've used the word point way too often in making my point. Anyway.
It's what you do.
The final
it's your
point,
skill.
The final point is to stop dismissing Melee. And this is one where the community has blame as well. Every time I hear a LOL Melee, it annoys me. But obviously, even the annals and the podcast are mostly Joust-themed, and that's symptomatic of a larger problem. But basically, whether you enjoy Melee or not personally, the unique format is a major selling point for Thrones, and if it is equally supported at the highest level, you're giving card designs for champions at Worlds, and it's equally supported at Nationals, was at Gen Con, then it should be supported throughout. That means that it shouldn't be card design for the Stalic Joust champion but not the Melee champion. It shouldn't be store and regional tournament kits designed only with Joust in mind, because who has a top 8 in Melee? It just doesn't happen. There's the promotional articles all written from the point of view of Joust. We got one Melee table streamed at Worlds. The rules are there, the structure is there, the prize support is there at Worlds. It should be there throughout. And I think that they've been unfairly dismissive of Melee, and I think that sort of infects the community as well, in which some people carry through that attitude.
Well, I think my rant, where Alex talked more than I did, is over now.
John, could you repeat what you were saying there?
I was saying if people like to be belittled, they should play you, Mr. Hines, because no matter how new they are to the game or if they're tired or sick, for instance, any little mistake they make will be pointed out and exemplified in phrases like, "Oh my God, that was the worst play I've ever seen in my life," or "How could you even call yourself a player doing something like that?"
Came close to using words like "I should." This actually, it struck me after our games yesterday that not only was I, you were playing terribly, and I was certainly not holding back and calling it out. But I realized, because I played a couple other matches today, and I it's not good. But I'll still share it. I'm getting increasingly frustrated in playing. And it will sound horribly elitist, it really isn't meant to be, but in playing weaker or newer players. And before I build up on that, it's worth noting, I'm starting local meta. I play every Thursday for hours with newer players. I'm happy to do it. And with on Octagon, I've introduced a whole bunch of people through the Skype group and walked them through the whole thing, and all that's fine. But when I switched to deck testing mode, because I wanted to play around with something for New York and to see if I could build it, I realized that I'd played, six games, and I still don't know how bad my deck is.
I can tell you it's a bad deck.
I know it's a bad deck, but I still don't know how bad. I've won 7 of my last 9 games with it. And so I've been getting unfairly frustrated at people who, when I spot these play mistakes, and I'll point them out, and hopefully you won't be making them again when we play next.
Right. We're friends. I don't mind, to be honest. It helps me. Because I haven't played with 2.0. And on Octagon, I have the stupid cards with just the text.
Yeah.
Which can sometimes make me forget things that are on the board. So.
None of it comes out of any dislike or hatred for my opponent, obviously. I have been noticing that when I switch to that testing mode, I get a short patience for play mistakes. That I have all the patience in the world for play mistakes in a tournament. Make as many as you like against me. I'm happy. But when I'm testing, I feel like I get into a different mode, and I don't know. It probably takes away from my enjoyment of the process, or I just need a better testing partner. So if we're looking for applicants.
Oh, he's going to be so depressed, people, like when I'm not sick and I just keep crushing him again.
I want to be crushed, John. I'm a masochist.
When you're building a deck, And I've been doing this recently because I'm basically just getting into 2.0 and finally playing some games. I say that every time, but this time I've actually been playing games.
Yes, for the last week, I can testify. And a couple days the week before when I also said this. So.
Yeah. So I've been getting more into it. I've been building decks, and some of them have been good and some of them have been bad. I found what I liked, and I started building it. And what I found was that I reached out to a whole bunch of people that I saw playing the same house and alliance, basically, and said, hey, I'll send you my deck. You send me yours. I'd love to see what's different, and maybe I can steal some of your ideas. Now, I've only changed 4 cards in my deck, but I think those 4 cards will make a big difference. And I got to chat with these people because we started talking about the decks that we've been enjoying and building. And it kind of gave me some different ways of playing the deck that I might not have thought of before or anticipated. And I think there's real value in that.
So find other people playing the same deck and exchange notes. Swap notes. Yeah, pass notes. Exactly. Swap whatever. Yes.
Ideas and notes.
All right, John, we are going to guide our listeners through another one of those slightly awkward reviews where you don't have the product in hand and I do, because people like me.
All right. It's a Time Walker deck box.
These are the Time Walker deck boxes. That's right. They sent me 2 different deck boxes.
Oh, sure. They send you 2 and don't send me any. It's okay, Time Walker. I'm sure your product's garbage.
They sent me a standard format and then what's called the double. Both of them only fit 1 deck. They say up to 100 cards, 80 double-sleeved. I've never double-sleeved, not even when I played Magic. So double-sleeving, not really a concern. So you can fit even your 75-card decks in here. That certainly hasn't been a problem. The first impressions are phenomenal on these. I've seen them at tournaments, and I'm a huge, huge fan of these already. I know we've reviewed tokens on the cast, and I've liked the tokens, and I've been impressed with them, but I've never gone out to then hop out and buy them. And the reason is that I'm convinced I'm going to lose some. I'll bring them to a tournament. I'll leave some of them behind. I've left tokens behind of the cardboard variety, and I just don't want to do that. I actually haven't even opened my coins that I got at Worlds for my gold tokens, where the number I have shouldn't even matter, because it'll bother me if I lose one. Deck boxes, I'm unlikely to lose. I've never lost a deck. I won't lose a deck box. And so...
So Alex can't use tokens that are special because his CDO will eat him alive if he loses one.
And you call it CDO because your dyslexia is awesome.
No, because Alex, that's the alphabetical correct way of doing OCD.
So the double format doesn't actually fit more cards. It just fits them in sideways and comes with a little additional region for tokens so that you don't lose those, presumably. These are leather-covered deck boxes where it's sewn in along the edges. It looks fantastic. The logos on some of them are in a relief, or how do you say that? Relief, where that's 2 different depths.
Oh, okay.
How do you say that in English?
I don't know. Are you trying to say they're like embossed, like they're indented?
They're indented, yes. Is embossed okay. The right word?
I believe so.
Maybe they should get a native English speaker to do these. So
let me see.
I actually... that I
embossed,
love these.
Carved, molded, or stamped, designed on a surface so it stands out in relief.
In relief. Okay, so I'm not entirely wrong. I'm just...
Look at that. Google says we're right.
Oh, well, okay. And in others, it's just a printed logo onto the leather. And again, I've got an example of each of those. I have the Barra one, which has Ours is the Fury carved into it, and a stag with an oversized crown. I really like that one. And I've got a Greyjoy one that says We Do Not Sew and has a Kraken printed on the leather in a gold and black pattern. These deck boxes, the prices vary a little, but they're in the vicinity of $20-$25. They're shipped from Malaysia, so I have heard that shipping can be quite expensive and that it's worth pooling in with some friends if you're interested in buying these. I will go into a few more details about them, but before I do that, I will mention the one thing that is bad, very bad about them.
That I didn't get a box?
No. So I requested that they send me the 2 they're most proud of. They said they didn't want to do that. They wanted me to pick the ones that I liked the look of on their site, which I did. And I picked the Barrow one. I'm really impressed with it. I picked the Greyjoy one, and it's very nice, but it does not match the one on their site. And so that would be something to be careful of. I would recommend you request a picture, an updated picture, to be sure. There's nothing wrong with this Greyjoy one. It's slightly different. The Kraken is aligned along a different axis, and the text, instead of being in gold, is in red. I don't like that as much. But then again, the rest of the box is in a nicer gold while it looks yellow on the other one. So it's a matter of preference. But if I had ordered the other one and expected that, I would be disappointed to receive this one. And so I'm going to get that out of the way. First of all, I think that is a mistake, and I would strongly recommend you request an up-to-date picture of what you were ordering. Finally, some little touches that I think are really nice. So they mentioned that these boxes are magnetic closures and magnetic seals. The magnets are very strong. The seal is crisp. It looks really nice. The Deluxe dual deck boxes have a separate seal for each compartment, which seems to work very well. And really, the quality of the product, there's no fraying edges, the seams are not coming apart, they look resistant. They've already encountered my daughter, and they have no remaining tooth marks on them. So they've certainly stood up to that particular test, and I will state unequivocally that I have every intention of buying one. Unfortunately, as I've said, I don't want to profit from doing this on the cast, so the two that we have here will be going out as prizes to some of the people who get to those 1,000 likes. But this is the product that I've been most impressed with of the ones I've been sent, and it also fills that niche where I prefer something like a deck box that I'm not going to lose than tokens, which I think are quite neat. But obviously, as we mentioned, my OCD may cause problems. The caveats again. Make sure you get a picture of an up-to-date picture of what you're ordering. And because of the shipping prices that I've heard being a problem, it's probably best if you pool with a couple of friends to get them shipped to you. Other than that, I can unequivocally recommend these. They're awesome. All right, John. Look how much faster we get through things when we don't have any guests, any pesky guests. We're already at the closing comments.
It's great, because guests just slow us down. Content. Who needs that?
As we've mentioned previously, we are going to Red Saturday this weekend, assuming neither of us are dead from our current everything infections.
Oh my god, I hope I'm not sick. I have to drive. You at least can like sit on a train and just kind of...
Veg, yes.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this tournament. I'm fairly certain that I'm actually going to be bringing a not fantastic deck. I've been having a lot of fun playing a Night's Watch deck that I don't think can beat Bera at all, and I think I'd be resigned to not doing well. But, you know, we had to eat crow about Martell on the cast, and I figured we dismissed Night's Watch so much, I wanted to make the best possible Night's Watch deck. I think I'm getting close to it, and I'm really enjoying it, so I'm likely to take that.
Well, you know what I'm taking, Alex? It's what I've been playing as well. I really am having a lot of fun with my Tyrell Talannister, so I'm going to take that.
Now, what really surprises me, and I don't know if you want to talk about this really quickly, you don't have pleasure barges in there.
No.
Yeah.
I designed the deck a little bit different. It's got some, I'll say, jank in it, or some fun interactions, and the cost curve was at a point where I can't actually absorb the -1 gold from Pleasure Barge. I think it's one of the few types of Tyrell decks that the barge shouldn't go in.
So, I mean, we may change our minds. We still have to test. I have to test against John when he's not playing badly. But I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to see what happens with this. Other tournaments, as we mentioned, the Philippine 2.0 Nationals, that is also the fundraiser that we've been talking about, A Noble Cause. That is November 29th at the Glorieta Activity Center. We also have a tournament in the Pacific Northwest, the Winds of Winter, on Saturday, November 28th, same day as the Red Saturday tournament. This is registration at 11, tournament at noon, $5 entry, but the store is offering a 15% discount for players on all AGOT items, including sleeve and deck boxes. So cool. That's a lot of support from Uncle's Games at Tacoma Mall. So if you're looking to pick up that second or third core, well, this is a cheap way to do it and get to know some of the community and jump right on in. God, this cast is just...
We are tired. We're just going to have to end this.
Is there anything else?
No. There can't be.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Wall. If you have any comments or would like to be featured on the cast, please let us know by email at beyondthewallpodcast@gmail.com or through Facebook at Beyond the Wall Podcast. If you've enjoyed the music, check out more of Antti Martikainen's work at the link embedded in the chapter data. See you all next week.
I want to be crushed, John. I'm a sadist. No, masochist. Got that backwards. No. Ah, crap. Yes, whatever. Sadist. Masochist. Masochist is the right one. Ah, God, tired.